Welcome to our podcast. Here's Melissa,
Laura,
and Rob.
Hello, welcome to this new episode of Cacao You Doing.
Hello.
Cacao, everybody.
Do you have your cup ready?
You need a spoon?
I need a spoon.
You can't drink without the clink.
The spoons are there.
Thank you. All right. I'm ready now.
All right, perfect. I hope everyone is ready as well. So grab your cup. I like to always put my cup close to my heart. Close my eyes. Start to connect with this cup of cacao. And connect with a feeling of gratitude for each person who contributed to this cup, including the farmers and the ancestors. And gratitude for yourself for taking the time to allow this beautiful spirit to come into you. And while you breathe in, you can also breathe in and breathe out your intention. And I always love to ask to my cup to please help me to connect with my heart, to open my heart and to connect with the spirits around me and feel more connected. And help me to release what I've done, what doesn't serve me anymore. And just take a last breath. And whenever you're ready, you can start to drain your cacao.
Beautiful.
Aho.
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 Over the lips and past the gums, look out stomach, here it comes.
So finally, after a while, I start, there's some maca, because we finished the maca and I haven't put maca for a little bit. So I ordered some more and I found the maca to add a very interesting taste on the cacao and also texture. And I really enjoy on top of all the health benefits that maca brings.
Well, that'll be interesting to see if Rob likes it or not, if it agrees with his stomach, because I think the maca before was the only thing that we could attribute to your
it was
some stomach digestion.
Lion's mane.
It was the lion's mane?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Don't know. We'll find out.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I guess we will.
Yeah, because when we did start the podcast, I used to put maca and Rob would not say anything with maca. That's why I put it. But when he starts saying something, it's when I started adding some lion's mane. And now I'm not adding it anymore, but I don't know. We'll see. Or maybe cacao is just telling you you have things to release.
I don't think it's a release thing. It just makes my stomach ache. Nothing to release there. No GI stuff going on, everybody.
He's just sensitive.
Just get a little tummy ache, that's all. We'll see how it goes. I'll let you know if it,
Well, it's interesting because, so for first timers, ceremonial cacao can be a little bit nauseated. It's a little bit heavy on the stomach, especially a ceremonial dose, which normally for the podcast I do what it's called, or we can call meditation dose, which is half the dose of a ceremonial dose. So ceremonial dose is 60 grams and of cacao, so that it doesn't matter how much liquid you put. And a meditation dose is 30 grams. So anyway, 60 grams, I don't know if you have a phone to convert, but it's really a lot. And pretty much I haven't have 60 grams for years.
Yeah.
Because it's really too much. And I noticed it's really a lot for the majority of people. So, like, when I do ceremonies right now, I like to give a little bit less because it's really a lot for first timers, and then they can serve themselves again if they want. But I prefer doing that than have the cacao go to waste, because I really love this beautiful spirit, and throwing that out is... It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
When people leave it in the cup, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we went to, we had, I think it was a year, was it a year ago or 2 years ago, you did the cacao ceremony.
The first one?
Mm-hmm. It was 2 years ago, right?
Let's be more than 2 years ago, yes.
Mm-hmm. I just had posted it. It was a Valentine's Day cacao ceremony. Okay.
So that was the second
one. Was that the second one? Yeah. And, I had the pictures came up on my Facebook memories.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that Valentine's Day. It was beautiful. We got to do cacao. And I think the first one we had, you had...
And she would do a fire dance, too.
Well, that was the first one, I think, not the second one.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was the first one, right?
Fire dance?
Mm-hmm, where she did the fire dance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's
a treat. What's you got to see Shiri's fire dance. She's she's pretty good.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first one, though, that we did. Our kids... came to the cacao ceremony, and I think the cacao was obviously very, they were expecting hot chocolate, and and the cacao, the ceremonial dose, like you said, was like so much, and they were like, this is not hot chocolate. So, I was like, all right, I'll drink it for you. They didn't end up, liking it, because it was really difficult for them.
Yes.
Like, so yeah. I guess for people who aren't, you're sort of used to working with cacao, sometimes a smaller dose is better.
Yeah, smaller doses than at first I was very purist, and I would just put cacao and let each person decide what sweetener to put. And now I already like prepare in a way that it's already has already a delicious taste.
Yeah.
And right now pretty much everyone loves it. But it's still, can be, when it's too dense, it can be heavy in your stomach. So, again, I prefer just starting people off with less, and then they can add more in. But anyway, also, if not used, it doesn't mean that if it's less, you don't have the effects of the openness. You do have them.
Yeah.
100%. It's just like it feels better on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's when you really work with a plant and you study and you work with the plant and others, so that you really find out what works the best for everyone. You know how to adapt and to serve better.
Well, it's delicious.
Thank you.
I love the cacao today.
So, Rob.
So, Mel.
So, Rob is my laughing buddy.
Oh, yeah. Laughing Yo is good. We'll have to wait another couple weeks until we get the episode on laughing yoga, but you're going to like it.
Oh my. Yes, we are enjoying that so much.
But that's not why you were looking at me calling my name.
Mm-hmm.
No, why were you looking at me calling my name?
Because today we're going to talk about habit. But we did have a little bit of a discussion, we didn't know what topic to bring. We had more than one, and we're going to definitely use all those for our podcast, but we finally picked habit. Rob wanted to talk about something else.
Habits. We all have habits. Some are good habits, some are bad habits.
Mm.
Some are habits that we need in order to keep us alive.
Like what? Like give me an example of a habit you need.
Breathing. Breathing.
It's not really a habit, though.
Do you have it?
Yes, but I don't think everyone has it. I think otherwise I'm dead.
Of course, you have a habit of breathing.
I don't know.
You said an example. I gave one. All right, so let's just move on.
Okay.
And then there are also some habits that you don't have, but you want to get.
Yeah, but there is some, about breathing, I was thinking today, something like breathing, like eating, that it's like, I was really reflecting on that. It's not really, I mean, maybe we can say it's a habit, but again, like it's something we need to eat to survive, even though like less is brief.
Yeah, but like eating breakfast every morning at 6:30, mm-hmm. you know, eating
habit.
The same thing,
or
my bowl of oatmeal,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. every day, that's what mm-hmm. you do. That's your habit for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or
you
maybe
get a habit of not eating breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
maybe eating fast. You know, some people might have a habit of not chewing their food fully, so they'll mm-hmm. eat, like, super fast. And then they find that their digestion, you know, that trigger in your brain that says, I'm full, it, because you ate so fast, that doesn't go off. So then they continue to eat, and then they get overfull.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's a bad habit.
That could be a yeah.
yeah,
could
so
be a bad habit.
That's interesting. So we're saying that from something that is necessary, like breathing or eating, and we can see eating better, how from that then we can develop different habits on how we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because even breathing, like many people, they're not aware that when they are stressed or they're anxious, they are breathing very fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not taking
shallow.
Long, deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Or even they're breathing not with their diaphragm and
no.
their belly, just with their chest. And so they're not fully breathing.
Correct.
And so even though we all breathe, and maybe I would not say that breathing is a habit, but there is different, but we develop a habit on how we breathe.
Well, it all comes back to awareness, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not aware that, you know, you're breathing like that, then you can't develop the good habit.
Yes.
Or an understanding that you even have a habit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's like that awareness sort of is that first thing, the first step into understanding what are my habits.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to make the awareness a habit. And the layers get deeper. And you get tangled in the web.
That's right. Yeah, like, that is. Because, like, that's like meditation, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So meditation is the, you know, the act of sort of silencing your mind,
mm-hmm.
right? So that you can bring more awareness to who you are, who, you know, your essence. And so in order to do that, you have to make it a habit to meditate every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In order to become even more aware
mm-hmm.
of your habits. So it's a cycle.
Yeah. Because I habitually think of stupid shit when I'm trying to meditate.
Everyone mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean
it's
try to break that habit of thinking is like trying to break the habit of eating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're gonna win those wars.
Yeah, and that brings the point I was thinking today. Like, there are some habits that we label as bad, like okay, that's something that came up recently, like smoking cannabis. For some people, it's a medicine. For some people, it
mm-hmm.
becomes a bad habit. But if it's a bad habit, or even like other things like that, alcohol, and I'm not talking about alcoholism, but if someone like feels they drink too much and it's not healthy, it's something that is they can see as a bad habit and decide not to do it again. So the idea is like, okay, I'm stopping that completely. Not that it's easy, but you're stopping that completely. But when it comes to eating, you cannot just stop completely to eat. But it's
mm-hmm.
like, okay, I have a bad habit of eating junk food, but I still have to eat. And that's, for example, it's very challenging for all the people that have like anorexia or bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
It's very challenging because it's like their dependency comes from something they always have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they can, like alcoholist, not that I'm saying it's easy, but it's just like there, it adds another challenge.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I don't have much to add.
How about you, Laura? We're looking at you now.
Well, I think there's also a distinction between good habit and bad habit. I mean, is there really such thing as a good or bad habit? I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's really just a habit.
Well, and there is no good or bad.
Right. And what we deem as good, someone else might deem as bad. Mm-hmm. So it's really just, it just falls upon us to really understand what are our habits and are they beneficial to us or are they hurting us in some way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I have, I'll give you an example of it. I have a habit of, like messing with my cuticles on my hands. I don't know why I do it. It's completely unconscious, but I will mess with my cuticles all day long. Like, it's just what I do. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt anyone else, but it's definitely a habit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's a good or a bad habit necessarily, but I do know it's a habit, and it's certainly something that's probably related somewhere in my deep recesses of my brain to something. I created this habit as a distraction for some reason or to soothe me in some reason.
Is it hurting you?
No, it doesn't hurt me. My cuticles are fine.
Are your cuticles in better shape because you pick at them, or in worse shape because you pick at them?
I don't know. I mean, your cuticles grow so fast that I don't think it matters.
I don't know. Maybe it's a good habit that it's, you know, healthy.
But
for,
all right, so
you know,
but there are people that, like, oh, here's a good one. So for me, it doesn't hurt me or anything. But there are people who, as a habit, will pick their eyebrow hairs. They or their eyelashes.
Oh.
It's an actual thing. They'll just pick. They're picking. And it becomes a habit until they become, browless. Yeah, or they have no eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a, you know, that isn't necessarily a bad, I mean, it's a bad habit.
It's a bad habit.
Right?
We call it for what it is. It's bad.
Because you're removing.
Yeah, your eyebrow and eyelashes are there for a biological purpose to help protect your eye.
Yeah.
You shouldn't remove it.
Well, so, yeah, a doctor would stop you from doing
best
that,
practice.
For sure. But so that, yeah, so I don't know. So I guess maybe it just, the categorizing things as good or bad, I don't think is necessary for someone to say to someone else. I think it's up to the person to decide, is that really good or bad for me at this moment in time?
Well,
like, is it hurting me?
Knowing what your habits are is a good place to start.
Yeah.
You know, you can write down all the things that you do on a daily basis regularly. And then, you know, you can have a moment of clarity to determine whether or not it's good for your life, whether you want to continue to do in that particular thing, or there's something different you want to pick up. Maybe you want to go play racquetball every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. instead of eating a bowl of oatmeal. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, you can't change the things you don't understand, so
take a look
at our habits, and your people you live with can tell you your habits, too, which is so fun.
Yes.
But I totally agree. I think observation is always important, an important first phase, and which is also, we can also call it bringing a more awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something that, like these 2 weeks, I decided I'm just going to do not add anything or not in anything or start anything else. I'm just observing 100% myself, and I am coming and I'm learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, in this observation, we're not judging something is good or bad, but we can judge if something, how does that make me feel? Is it serving me, not serving me? And really try to observe all the context, like, oh, at that time I was, this was happening, this person was talking, I don't know. This other thing triggered me, or like I was feeling this, it was this time. So like really collecting and observing, like if you were an anthropologist observing yourself, right? And so as an anthropologist, you're not going to judge, you're just going to write down all the data.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't know. What is this happening? But it's interesting, and I'm going to write it down. And so again, observe. First step, observation. And then we can see if those habits are serving us or not, or good or bad. according to our own judgment, if they're good for us or not good for us. And then we can make a choice.
Exactly. Yeah. So I am going to quote Joe Dispenza here. And he says, if you want a new outcome, you will have to break the habit of being yourself and reinvent a new self. So in terms of like for people who are trying to incorporate changes in their lives, you know, look at your habits, because that's the first thing that will tell you who are you. And then if you want to change that, you know, by bringing awareness, a habit is really an unconscious behavior. So when you're conscious of that behavior, then you have the ability to either change that behavior, stop it, or modify it in some way if you want to continue that behavior. So it's just that awareness, like what you're talking about, that, you know, overarching, like let's take that moment in time and really sit back and really be aware of myself and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and how it makes me feel. And if it's something I want to continue or not, or change, and then move on from there. And then that's how I think as humans we evolve in general. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I think
you
that
had this look on your face.
I know.
I had to say that.
The look on my face, because you two are looking at me expecting me to say something. there's a lot of talk about awareness of our habits and writing stuff down and trying to figure things out. But there's so much content out there on habits, not just bad habits and breaking them, but, you know, one of the great, fantastic books that, man, it's been 30 years since I read it, but it was impactful to me, was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, and apologize, I didn't do any prep work for it, but I'd highly recommend going out and getting that book if you want to be highly effective, because developing those habits are all very positive and contribute to a, you know, more comfortable and peaceful life for you. Hopefully, that's the goal.
So what were the habits?
I don't know. I told you it's been 30 years. You know, and I'm not on my phone during the podcast, so I'm a good boy.
Good boy. So while Laura is looking for the 7 habits, I would also like to add on the discussion that we often think of bad habits, good habits, and we also approaching that, or I see many people approaching that with thinking of keep adding things to do on your list, pretty much, right? And that's why like the observation is good, because if you, before adding anything, you just observe, then you can observe there are elements that we can call energy drainers and that you want to eliminate and clutter whatever is in your life or in your mind before deciding of, or I add some more because I want to be healthy, but it's like your room is full of clutter and it's like, oh, doesn't feel that this room doesn't feel at peace, so I want to make this room feeling more peaceful, and I'm just going to buy more incense and other stuff and add, but I haven't done the work of observing what is not make the room peaceful and then cluttering. So that would be an important step to do.
Like you got to sage the demon out of the corner before you have any peace at all.
Well, ironically, that is habit number 1 in 7 Habits of Highly
Saging
Effective People.
Saging demons out of corners?
No, it's be proactive.
Be proactive. That's a good habit.
So, says proactivity is about taking responsibility for one's reaction to one's own experiences, taking the initiative to respond positively and improve the situation. So, yeah.
Be responsible.
Yeah. And then habit number 2 is begin with the end in mind. He says, discusses envisioning what one wants in the future so one can work and plan towards it, and understanding how people make important life decisions. So to be effective, one needs to act based on principles and constantly review one's mission statements, according to the book. And then habit number 3 is put first things first. He talks about what is important versus what is urgent. So priorities should be given in the following order, where what, like the first one is urgent and important, like important deadlines and crises. The second one is not urgent, but important, like something that's like more long-term development, like a plan. The third one is urgent, but not, third one is urgent, but not important. Mm-hmm. With distractions, with deadlines. And then the last one is not urgent and not important. Mm-hmm. So frivolous distractions. So those are the, how you categorize, I guess, your thing, your habits, what things are, should be important in your life.
Yeah, habits, tasks.
Yeah. And then the fourth habit is think win-win. So seek mutually beneficial win-win solutions or agreements in your relationships. I like that. I think that's pretty self-explanatory right there, mm-hmm. right? Thinking win-win isn't about being nice, nor is it a quick fix technique. It is a character-based code for human interaction and collaboration. All right, nice. Habit five is seek first to understand, then to be understood. I've heard that before. I didn't realize it was from this book, though. So that makes sense. So it says, use empathetic listening to genuinely understand a person, which mm-hmm. compels them to reciprocate the listening and takes an open mind to be influenced. Mm-hmm. This creates an atmosphere of caring and positive problem solving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think we talked about, when we talked about last podcast about communication, mm-hmm. that was part of it. Like the active listening and so on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Habit six is synergize. It's combine the strengths of people through positive teamwork so as to achieve goals that no one could have done alone.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yes. Collaboration, teamwork. Awesome. And then the last habit is sharpen the saw. He says that... you should balance and renew one's resources, energy, and health to create a sustainable, long-term, effective lifestyle. He emphasizes exercise for physical renewal, good prayer, and good reading for mental renewal. He also mentions service to society for spiritual renewal.
Did you mention Amble in there?
Oh, cacao.
It's called giving back to yourself. Yeah, so yeah. There you go. Those are the seven habits of highly effective people. Mm. Broken down in 10 minutes.
There you go.
Or perfect. 5 minutes or whatever that took.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome. Hope you enjoyed that.
I did.
But actually, those I think those are good techniques for people who are already aware of or who want to build new habits. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you want to change habits that you already have in place, I think that's where the awareness comes in more so than... that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're trying to figure out where those bad habits are, look to the misery. Those are all pointers. Mm-hmm. If something makes you feel bad or yucky or uncomfortable or depressed or whatever, it's pointing to that habit, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, so to sum up a little bit, so the observation, see what's working, what's not working,
mm-hmm.
and then unclutter, remove energy drainers, all that, and then you can, and that also means removing bad habits and then adding some good habits. Mm-hmm. And those seven habits are very useful, but I will also invite everyone to again like evaluate for themselves what are their values, their purpose, and see what it's really important behind. That's another mistake that I hear many people do, and I may fall into that as well. It's like, so yesterday we had a group call and someone would say, I want to be more healthy. So to be more healthy, I want to eat better, exercise, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a list of good habits that we hear are to create health, right? And they probably totally work. But you always need to ask yourself, what does it mean be healthy and what am I really looking for? Especially if you try to add those habits, and you don't have the clarity of the value of what you really want. And of course, you see that you're not successful in applying those habits. And then what happens, you go into the rabbit hole of like beating yourself up because you're not able to do that, and then so on and so on. But probably if you actually focus on what am I looking for, what does it mean to be healthy? And like for this person who was like being vibrant, being alive, have the fire, right? So maybe you will find habits that bring that fire, that are not just eating healthy or that or that or that. Or maybe it will end up being those, but now there are this motivation behind that, is this deep feeling that is connecting with, I'm gonna eat healthy to feel that fire mm-hmm. that I want to feel. That will set you up for success.
Yeah, that's good. I was gonna say something. Is it okay?
No, yeah.
You have this weird look.
Yeah,
Rob's got some weird looks today.
Sorry.
All right, so I'm gonna leave this.
Bad habit.
Leave us with a quote from Joe Dispenza, and it's unconscious Let's start over. Unconscious repetition.
I had to. It was sitting right there. You served it up. Sorry. Bad habit.
All right. Unconscious repetition trains the body to remember an emotional state equal to or better than the conscious mind does. When the body remembers an emotion better than the conscious mind, in other words, when the body is the mind, that is called a habit.
But I would say the body is the mind mm-hmm. because we separate that, but actually our nervous system that is connected to the brain is all over the body. So where is the separation, even physically?
That's a topic for another podcast.
Because exactly.
I can go deep and long on that subject.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack there, Mal.
There is.
Look for podcast 2 on that.
Yeah. Well, I can say like what Sadhguru says about habits is that there's no good or bad habits. Or habits are bad because you're not conscious.
Mm-hmm.
So do everything with consciousness. So that's one of the things he says. And the other that is connected to what I say of like looking for what's behind what you want to achieve. So again, the health, that is the fire. So I think it was one time someone asking him, why am I lazy? Why do I procrastinate? And then Sadhguru was saying, well, do you procrastinate something that you love doing? So again, the answer is no. So again, so you procrastinate what you don't want to do. And sure enough, there are things like taxes that we probably do not enjoy that much doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're still like looking more for what is that, like that our fire, what is the value behind, look for. So if there is something that we really want these habits to have because we think it's good and it's never happening, instead of feeling a failure, just look, why am I focused, why I want that, what is actually behind and what I actually want to achieve, and find the answer that is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see that you won't procrastinate that. And then there's things like taxes that you...
I don't know. I never procrastinated with taxes because I never knew if I was going to get a return or not. So I would always like do my taxes. And then when I realized whether I was getting a return or whether I had to pay, if I had to pay, then I would procrastinate. Or actually, it's not really procrastinate. I just wouldn't submit it until I needed to, the absolute deadline.
Some people love taxes.
Like
my sister is a CPA and a tax attorney. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So her entire life is involved in doing taxes.
Oh, yeah. She's very passionate about that.
She's really passionate about doing taxes. Depends. And I can't understand that. Who would want to do taxes, like, forever, all the time?
I don't know. Maybe some of our listeners.
Yeah. Well, then again, it would be interesting in that case that related to the habit of understand before be understood. So opening a discussion is like, tell me more. Like, I totally do not get why you're so passionate about this.
Oh, we've had that talk. I still don't get it. Man. I tell you, man, I was telling my children today, my second worst class in college was accounting one. Only to follow up the first worst class, which was accounting two, because it was worse than accounting one.
Yeah.
And I like numbers. I'm a math guy, but accounting sucked.
Yeah, I had a tough time with accounting too.
This is about habits, and one of mine is complaining. So I'm aware of it. I'm aware. Laura helps me there too. So yay. Stop complaining about everything.
I was gonna say that's why you learn French in school, because French are the major complainers.
Yeah, well, I complain about learning French in school. Like, why did I learn that language? Spanish could help me out every day. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true. I told everybody in high school they should be learning Spanish.
Yeah, I know.
My sister, my best friend, you, everyone took French. I took Spanish.
Yeah, your sister and your best friend were in my French class.
I know.
With Madame Simone.
Madame Simone. Yeah. So... learning a language is a good habit.
It is a good habit, actually.
It is a good habit.
No, yeah.
Just
feel
not
like
French. It's useless.
No. No. I think, you know, challenging ourselves to grow outside of what we're taught, like what we know as our known, like our language, you know, we grew up with English, but challenging ourselves to learn other languages and other cultures, I think, is a beautiful thing. You know, it helps us grow outside of who we are mm-hmm. and understand the world around us.
Where you want to go?
Everywhere.
All right. Book it.
Right now I'm trying to book Alaska, okay?
Well, but that's they speak English there.
Well, yeah, they do speak English.
Maybe we go to Italy.
Italy is definitely on our list.
It's on the list. So... what would be a tip to, like, as we said, taxes for the one who doesn't like it? So, and have it something that we all or you have to do anyway, but it's not really. There's no passion. There's definitely we can find a value behind that that can help us motivate it.
Well, I'll quote the Buddha. What do you do before enlightenment? Chop wood and carry water. What do you do after enlightenment? You chop wood and carry water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, whether you like it or not, it's irrelevant. You got to do your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I got no input there. Just do your taxes.
Not sure Mel was asking if she should do your taxes.
Not asking her to do my taxes.
No, not her taxes.
Wait.
Oh, no. We have a guest speaker.
Oh.
Yes, chopping wood and carrying water has opened up the throat chakra.
And here's Gabriel.
Hey, so what I was thinking regarding about the habits, just to start building small habits, it would be, like for me, if I want to start doing any small habit, I will start small, anything that could take me less than 1 minute.
Mm.
And if I can do it in 1 minute, just every day, that makes me have the votes to say, yes, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great tip. Absolutely. You know, start small with anything. I mean, because if you try and tackle something that's so huge, it'll become overwhelming and you can't accomplish it, right?
Yes.
And that it becomes too unobtainable, right? And then you'll stop altogether and you'll never start doing anything else. So that's a great tip, I think. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gabriel.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. And on that note, I would say also not only start small, but also start immediately, like to market. Like when you make the decision, okay, I'm going to start doing mm-hmm. this. Do something immediately that is just tells your brain it's already happening. It's not tomorrow because there's always going to be a tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it now.
No, it's true. I think I read somewhere that you have, I think it's 7 seconds or something close to that. Maybe it's 5 seconds, but somewhere between 5 and 7 seconds, when you have a thought about you want to do some kind of action, You have 5 to 7 seconds to actually act on it before your ego, before your brain, whatever, stops you.
Before it's overwritten.
Before it's overwritten. So if you don't act on it immediately...
It's like goldfish brain, man. It's like 10-second Tom.
Yeah. But the idea is you need to act on it immediately. Or you become a goldfish swimming around in your pond. And you don't do it. You don't. You will never. You won't end up getting to the, mm-hmm. those goals that you want, right?
Yeah. Imagine so. You're saying your brain, "I'm doing this." Oh,
that was loud.
Participating.
Sorry, that was the dog.
Imagine you tell your brain, "Okay, I'm starting this tomorrow," mm-hmm. right? And tomorrow, there is always a tomorrow, as mm-hmm. I said before. So tomorrow your brain comes. Is registered as tomorrow.
It's not important, is what your brain says.
Yeah, and
right?
It's like,
I'll do this later.
Tomorrow, so I procrastinate mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. this. So you are, like, starting this command of this will happen tomorrow. And so there's this, your brain will register literally what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other part of you that wants to actually start will be very frustrated about the wrong command that you gave yourself.
Exactly. So you're right. I mean, I think the best thing to do is if you have... If you have something, thank you.
You look at her like she
I'm
gave it to you.
I'm looking at Hazel like Hazel gave it to me. But you have that small window where if you have a desire that some change you want to do in your life, you have that very small window to actually act on it. So it's to do it right away is absolutely the best thing to do.
And also on this note, I remember one time there was... one participant in a ceremony, and he was saying, was frustrating by himself of never finishing his habits, never finishing what he wants to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, listen to yourself. Like, you always finish because you finish doing it and you don't doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it was giving someone's command that is finishing doing something. Why, instead of telling himself that he's practicing. So on this, I would add, so you remember whatever you add and you want to do, see is in the big picture, and it's okay if 1 week you don't happen to do it, doesn't mean you're a failure and then, oh, I'm so bad, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. It's like, oh, I skip this week, I start now again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, it's, you know, instead of beating yourself up about it, you recognize the fact that, okay, I fell off, I didn't do it, whatever. You recognize it, and then you say to yourself, all right, time to step right back into it and do it again. Instead of beating yourself up over it, just get back into doing whatever it is you need to do.
Yeah, just continue. Mm-hmm. And then also, as Gabriel said, the 1 minute thought starting small.
Yeah.
You can also start in small in the sense of maybe it doesn't have to be every day. Or
right.
You can say, this can be every day, but how much will be satisfying? Maybe 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So if I still hit those 4 times a week, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for 7 days a week, but 4, if life happens, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm still going to celebrate.
Right. And I think that's the key to making it. It needs to be something that is attainable, right? Something that you can actually... obtain and do. And if you create these habits or these things that, or these changes in your life that are completely unrealistic and something that you can't manage to do, you will always fail. You'll set yourself up for failure, and that will never work. So,
and that's where it goes. What I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
that casting votes towards with little steps, little
mm-hmm.
habits, you cast those votes, and then you got that evidence showing that, hey, I can do it.
Exactly.
But if you, like you were saying, if you're trying to look at the big picture and try to do a lot of things, then you're going to be like, I can't do that. And you're going to step away from it because it's too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like, it's like, you know, I've always, you know, there was a time in my life where I wanted to be a runner. And I thought, okay, I want to run. And I want to run a 5K. Okay, great. So I set out and I'm going to run around the block. And I got to my neighbor's house, which is like 20 feet away. And I couldn't, I was exhausted. I didn't know how to run. I didn't know, my lungs weren't developed enough, my breathing technique wasn't developed enough to run past my neighbor's house. And I got very, upset. I was like, oh my God, I'm not a runner. I was like, I can't run.
So maybe a good habit in that would be... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
I was going to say, just putting the sneakers on just to make...
Right?
That's the habit right there. Put the sneakers on and then that teaches you, I need to go walk.
Yeah. So, you know, the idea is, oh, I want to run, I want to be a runner. And I want to run a 5K, you know. Small goals, right? Small little steps that get you to that. And then eventually, if you, instead of... you know, saying to yourself, oh, I can't do it because I, you know, I tried and I failed. Well, no, I put my shoes on. I got out there. I ran at least to my neighbor's house. Great job. Yeah. Do it tomorrow. Do it again. Mm-hmm. Keep doing it. And then eventually you'll get to the point where you can run the 5K. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just the idea that, you know, when we have these goals or these habits that we want to create, these new habits that we want to create in our lives, it is breaking it up into small obtainable chunks until we can finally get to the end result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the same is true for breaking some bad habits. Mm-hmm. I just thought, going back to the food, instead of go cold turkey, I think it's that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I heard some people saying that that's the way they operate, but my experience is much better if you go small, that you don't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, okay, I'm just going to replace one breakfast or one meal a week. I'm just going to have fruits that meal.
Yeah.
And then the following week, I'm going to have two and so on and build up from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you will realize that all your meals are healthy and you're looking back and you're like, well, how did I even do that? And it was so effortless.
Yes.
It was so effortless.
Yeah.
And effective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just building small blocks, building blocks.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, we all have to realize that change is really difficult for us as humans. We resist change in general. Like most humans resist change. And so how do you incorporate some level of change into your life if you're constantly resisting it? Well, the small steps, the small, actionable, obtainable things that you can do in your life every day. When you can do that nice and small and easy, then the change will come much.
Yeah.
I mean, it might take longer to do, but you'll get there versus if you just denied it altogether.
I'm just going to sum up, I think. I'm going to just share a story.
Oh,
it was a personal story about changes and pretty much connect everything that we said. So the value behind changing the habits and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was years ago, I was living in France. I was 24 and I was a little overweight. And I did try for years to lose some of that weight. And at a certain point, I just reached to a point that I was like, I'm so tired of, I don't care anymore if I don't lose this weight, but, I just feel so unhealthy. I feel I'm 60 years old. I'm always so tired, and this is not okay. That I don't want to live this way anymore. So I connected to the value of, I just want to have this fire, right? This vibrancy, feeling healthy, feeling great, feeling 20s, you know, pretty much. And so it's like, okay. And I started buying just small changes. It was 15 minutes of Pilates only. 15 minutes of Pilates, walking a little bit more. I always enjoyed walking. And then for the food, well, still enjoy my food, not checking anything. Just let's add a little bit more of fresh fruits, fresh veggies, you know, and also experiment and with delicious new recipes, but just more fresh food. And then the 15 minutes Pilates became 30 minutes and then slowly 45 and then 1 hour, just because it was 15 minutes. That's good. So easy. I want more. I'm enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
The walk. Oh, that's cool. I can walk a little bit more. And then the food. That's good. Let's try this other one. And in 1 month, only 1 month, I lost like 20 pounds. Wow. And I was super healthy. And I felt like everybody was like asking me what I did. And I was like, just wanted to be more happy. Mm-hmm. And I just implemented little things. And it was so effortless that it was such a beautiful journey.
Yeah.
So that's my story.
Beautiful. I love that story.
Thank you for
being here. Thank you. And thank you, Gabriel, for being here. Our friend Gabriel was here and contributing with your beautiful tip and ideas on this.
Thank you.
So, yeah. All right, guys.
Thank you, everyone. And
yeah.
Cacao you later.
And laugh more.
Ha ha.
Cacao.